Evening. Thanks. If I can tell a story, Tom Ward spoke brilliantly this morning about Krispy Kreme donuts. About half an hour before that, I'd been handed a box of 12 Krispy Kreme donuts by my wife. So Tom didn't just speak about Krispy Kreme donuts, but if you're here this morning, you'll know what I mean. So pray for me this week. I was convicted. We're in Proverbs chapter 8. Starting a new series. We're going to read from verses 10 to 16. We're going to focus in on verses 22 to 31. It's one big poem. Verses 10 to 16 are going to give us a bit of context. And verses 22 to 31 is going to be where we do most of our work this evening. So give you a second to flick to that on your phones or Bibles. And then I'll read God's word to us. So starting at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. And then we're skipping on to verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped. Before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray, and then we'll think about God's word. Father God, I am not wise. Human wisdom is fallible and shaky, but you are wise. You are the God only wise. You are the Ancient of Days, as we've just sung. You are our God who holds the oceans in his hand, who numbers every grain of sand. You are the one who knows all things, who can fathom your wondrous deeds. So Lord, we say, behold our God seated on his throne, and we ask that you'd help us to adore you by thinking about true wisdom, which is found only in you. Amen. I'm going to start off by speaking about one of my favourite TV shows, The Great British Bake Off. I'm a big fan. But I think one of the best parts of The Great British Bake Off is where stuff starts to go a bit wrong. That's when things get tense and exciting. That's when you see who the real star bakers are. And one of the things I genuinely learnt last season watching it, is that it's difficult to bake when it's hot. So in the conditions we've got today, it'd be quite difficult to make a meringue because your tips would go all floppy or your icing wouldn't set and it would go all liquidy. It'd be difficult. And it's at this point when baking, you can't follow a recipe. You can't just go bish, bash, bosh, cake or whatever is done. When these moments happen, the bakers need to pull from a wide range of knowledge and apply it into the situation they are in. They need to draw from their baking experience to help them to get through this very literal sticky situation. And I think that is an analogy of what the value of the book of Proverbs in our lives. You see, life is messy. You can't always follow a simple step-by-step recipe, bish, bash, bosh, perfect life, there you are. Life is complex, it's difficult. There's all sorts of pressures. So when the heat of life's struggles press in on us and things aren't clear, what do we need? We need to be able to draw from knowledge and apply it into a particular situation. And that's what wisdom is. It's applying the knowledge we have into the situation. And that's what the book of Proverbs offers us. It's a book of collected wisdom from God's people throughout the history, written mainly by King Solomon. And it's all about how to live well in God's world. And in this new series, we're going to be in Proverbs over the next few weeks. And we're staying practical, as we have been in the evening service. We're going to keep asking questions. And we're going to ask questions about life. And we're going to see what the Bible has to say about different topics. We're going to cover anger, sex, money, envy, pride, laziness, guidance, gossip, forgiveness, and family. All sorts of topics, all sorts of important topics. But these first 2 weeks, we're going to think about wisdom. Because at its core, that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. Wisdom for life. This week, we're going to think about where true wisdom is found. And next week, we're going to think about how can we become wise. And then we're going to take these 2 weeks about wisdom and think about, okay, how can we be wise in all these different areas of life? Proverbs 8, the chapter that we're in tonight, is one of four poems that appear in the book of Proverbs, all about wisdom. And in this poem, wisdom is personified. Wisdom is speaking. It's calling out to the readers. And in verses 1 to 20, wisdom is basically saying, listen up, listen to me. What I've got to say is worth hearing. We read verses 10 to 16. And in verse 10, wisdom says, I'm more important than jewels. I'm more valuable to have than the things that cost a lot of money in this life. And later on, it says that kings need me to rule well. Wisdom is saying, listen up. And in this moment, when we hear something like this, the natural response of the human heart is to go, why? Why should I listen to you, wisdom? With all the voices out there, with all the different things vying for our attention, why should we pursue wisdom? Why should we listen to the voice of wisdom of these pages? Well, in verses 22 to 31, where we're going to focus tonight, that's where we get the answer. Wisdom, if you like, provides us with its CV, its list of qualifications for helping us do life well. So let's go through this CV. Section 1, date of birth. Section 2, life experience. Section 3, work experience and skills. Section 4, hobbies and interests. So section 1, date of birth. Verse 22, wisdom says, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work. See, before God did anything, he had wisdom. Wisdom has been around for all eternity. And the following poetry emphasizes this. Before the beginning of the earth, verse 23, wisdom was there. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, verse 25. Before God had made the earth, verse 26. Wisdom has always been there. It was there before creation. To use the words of the poem, it was there being brought forth before time itself. Do you ever find that older, wiser people can be pretty useful? Yes, I do. Think of someone who maybe in your life is that bit older, that bit wiser, who you perhaps look up to. And with these kind of people, there's a depth of knowledge and experience and know-how that just comes from having seen more of life, having a broader set of experience. There's a certain perspective on life you can only get from having lived that little bit longer, that you can't short-circuit your way to this type of wisdom. Almost the longer you've been around, the more you can step back and look and have perspective on things. Well, here we see that wisdom has seen it all. Wisdom has been around from the very beginning of time, so it brings a depth and breadth of knowledge and insight like no other. Next section of the CV. We've got date of birth, and now we've got life experience. What's wisdom's life experience? Wisdom says, I was there when the world was made. So verse 27, when God established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when God made the world, wisdom was there. Wisdom saw God in action. The origin of the world and where we've come from has been discussed between scientists and philosophers as long as human beings have been around. Human beings pursue constantly the knowledge of where did we come from? How did life as we know it develop? Wisdom says all that stuff that science and philosophers strive for, all that knowledge, I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen God knitting together the world. I've seen the inner wirings of life. A couple of weeks ago now, Beth's dad came to do some work on our house. He knocked down a wall and he rewired some lights, which is good because I'm a complete novice at DIY, absolutely no clue. But every time I help Paul do some work on our house, which when I say help, I basically hold stuff and pass him tools. But every time I watch him at work, I learn more about how our house works. Just by watching. And that's so helpful because when Paul's not around, I have a bit more understanding when something goes wrong to be able to say, okay, maybe this is wrong. I have a bit more understanding of what's behind the walls, how our house is knitted together. Well, wisdom was there witnessing God at work, seeing the ultimate master doing his thing. So it has a greater depth and appreciation and knowledge about how the world works than we could ever dream of. There's also a credibility of being able to say, I was there, that I saw it. I've got a friend who was at the 1966 World Cup final. He witnessed the World Cup being won by England with his own eyes. And when I first found that out, I said, what was it like? Tell me about it. Because he would be able to offer me insight to England's World Cup victory like very few other people would. You see, wisdom is saying, I was there when the world was made. And so is able to tell us about life from a unique perspective. Wisdom was there when God created life, so we should listen to what wisdom has to say about life. Section 3 of the CV, skills and work experience. You see, wisdom didn't just watch the world being made. It goes on to say wisdom made the world. And that's a common theme we find throughout the Bible. Psalm 104, verse 24 says, through wisdom God made the world. The Old Testament repeats again and again that wisdom was the means through which God made the world. And for our purposes, this tells us that wisdom knows how the world works. Because, verse 30, wisdom is the master workman. If God was the architect who laid out all the plans, wisdom is the builder. Where's the best place to go when you want to know how something works? You go to the maker. If something's not working, you read the user manual. You Google the company website to see what the maker says about how to sort it out. If something's really broken, you send it back to the manufacturer to get it fixed because the maker knows best how something works. The maker also knows best the purpose of why something is made. If you ever watched Dragon's Den, one of the jobs of the inventor, they come on, they present their product, and they also have to persuade the dragons, this is useful, this is what it's for, so that they see that it's worth investing in. Well, wisdom here in this poem presents itself as the means by which the world was made. So wisdom knows how life works. But wisdom also is able to tell us what life is for, what our purpose is in life, how to do life really well. Last section of the CV, interests. And interests are that wisdom loves God and his world. It says in verse 30, I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. So wisdom loves God and wants to see him known. Wisdom loves the world and wants to see it flourish. Wisdom loves the people God has made, so wants what's best for them. So that's wisdom's CV. So what we can see here is true wisdom is timeless. It's eternal. It's life-giving, and it's other-loving. And that's why it's worth having. That's why it's worth searching for. That's why it's worth listening to in these pages. So to turn to tonight's question, where can this wisdom be found? First answer to that question, not in ourselves. And that's quite a countercultural statement because there's a whole tidal wave of thought at the moment that says, if you want to do life well, look to yourself. The news, social media, TV, all of it is saying, if you want the most out of life, look to yourself. Look inside yourself for meaning and purpose. If you want to live your best life, the answer's in here. To quote a modern proverb, you do you. But when we compare human wisdom to the wisdom being offered here, we just see that it just pales in comparison. It always falls short. You see, our wisdom, human wisdom, is not timeless. And that's because we can't see all of time. We're from a specific period of history, which brings with it all sorts of assumptions that we've inherited from growing up in the place where we have grown up. I have a narrow view of the world because I haven't seen it all. In the timeline of history, I'm going to live for about 5 seconds. And that means human wisdom changes with time. What one culture and one period considers wise, another culture says, that's a bit foolish. What are you thinking? Have you ever studied history and looked back and thought, what were they doing? How did they rationalize that? Well, the same will be true of our generation. It's a guarantee. Our wisdom is not timeless. Secondly, our wisdom is not eternal. It runs out. There's things that our wisdom just cannot fathom, that cannot get to the bottom of. Here's an example of this. Human wisdom cannot prove right and wrong. Human wisdom on its own cannot justify why there is right and wrong in the world, because in order for right and wrong to exist, we need to appeal to a higher wisdom, a wisdom that's outside of ourselves, a wisdom that is above ourselves. Because if there's not a God and we're just a random collection of atoms, then who's to say what right or wrong actually is? It's just one person's wisdom against another. It's one culture's preferences against another. You cannot logically explain why right or wrong exists by just appealing to human wisdom. It falls short. It's limited. It's not eternal. There's loads more examples, but I'll leave you with that one. Maybe you can ask about a few more in the question time. Our human wisdom is not life-giving. With all the apparent advances in human wisdom or culture or technology, we still die. We've not found an answer to why human beings still decay. We've not found world peace. We still kill each other. We still hurt each other. Human wisdom is not life-giving. And lastly, human wisdom is not other-loving. We do see elements of sacrificial love in human beings. I think that's because we're made in the image of God. But the basic point is that human wisdom is never able to be completely other-loving. There's always a degree of selfishness mixed in. There's always a degree of self-preservation mixed in. Just take Phoebe from Friends. No such thing as a truly selfless good deed, proven on the show. Just watch that if you want proof. And we might always say human nature, we might just say that's just human nature. But that's why we need a wisdom of outside of ourselves. That's why we need a higher, a greater, a more loving wisdom if we're going to do life well. If we want the kind of wisdom described here, if we want true wisdom, we need to look outside of ourselves to someone else. You see, wisdom is a person. There's a reason why these chapters speak of wisdom as a person, why wisdom is personified. This poem in Proverbs 8, if not linked to a person, is a bit like a shadow without a body. It's just an outline. It's limp. It's lifeless. It's got no movement. But the New Testament offers us a person who can bring life to this poem, who is connected to this poem, who walked on the earth and amazed onlookers at his authority and his wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, Jesus is the wisdom of God. And if Jesus is the wisdom of God, then Proverbs 8 is all about Jesus Christ. He is where true wisdom is to be found. And that's true because Jesus is timeless and eternal. Just like in this poem, wisdom is said to be watching God create, but also wisdom is said to be the creator. Well, that's true of Jesus Christ. At the beginning of John's gospel, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's talking about Jesus. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Jesus is the Word of God, the ultimate, final communication of his wisdom. And he was with God in all eternity. And he is the eternal God. And he is the wisdom through which God made the world. Jesus is also life-giving. Colossians chapter 1 says a very similar thing to the beginning of John's gospel. He says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Jesus is the life-giving wisdom of God. And Jesus is also other-loving. Jesus loves God. He's his beloved son throughout all eternity. And he so loved the world that he was sent to the world to die for the world, to redeem the people he had made, to save mankind. And he's the only one who is completely other-loving, completely self-sacrificial. I think Romans 5, 7 to 8 provides us with a bit of a comparison between human wisdom and God's wisdom in a way, because it says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one might even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus gave everything for us. He died and he lived and died to bring us into a relationship with God, the relationship that we were made for. And because he is the timeless creator, he brings an eternal wisdom that never runs out, never changes with cultural preference, that can be relied upon in all times and seasons. He knows how the world works because he made it. But because he came and lived in this world, he really truly understands us. We all long to be understood, don't we? When we have problems, we long to talk to someone who truly understands what we're going through, who can truly sympathize with us. And Jesus is the one who sympathizes with all our weaknesses, because he was tempted in every way we are. But yet he did it without sin. He gets life on this world because he made it. He created it. And he also gets life on this world because he lived in this world. And then by looking to the cross, we can see the depths of his love for us. We can know that he truly wants the best for us, because he was willing to die for us in order to bring us life. Jesus Christ is the place where true wisdom is to be found. If you want to know a wisdom that is timeless, that leads to life and love, don't look to yourself, look to Jesus Christ. Listen to his words, believe in them, trust in them, live by them, follow his example, and trust in his promises. Then you will know what it is to be wise. Wisdom is not found in us. We are not wise on our own. Our wisdom falls short. If we look to Jesus, then we will know how to do life well in this world. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you that you are true wisdom. Thank you that you are the place where wisdom is to be found. Jesus, we just are not wise. Our wisdom, we reflect your wisdom in various ways, but if we want true wisdom, if we want a wisdom that lasts, we need to look to you. Help us to trust you, to believe in you, and pray that we might, by looking to you, know how to do life well in your world.